Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we're here with Craig Rosen.
Yeah. That was funny.
Hello, this is Mike Wagner, and we're here for part two of our discussion with myself and Craig Rosen about Aerosmith, and let's just jump right into it. You wanted to go back to A Night in the Ruts and...
Rockin' a Hard Place.
Rockin' a Hard Place.
Yeah. Also, I want to mention one thing about my son in the name, Tyler Steven. It's funny, he was born when I was working at Billboard. And there was a guy I worked with in the advertising department who was very, this guy named Gary Newell, who is a complete schmoozer. And somehow he, like, told somebody in the Aerosmith office about my son and the name. And I got a fax at work, a month later on Aerosmith stationery from Steven Tyler. And
it said
something like, Tyler, Steven, I get it. Hey, cool, rock on. And, signed by Steven Tyler. So that's in the baby book somewhere in Tyler's book.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I would love to sit around and talk to Steven Tyler for a while because it's just like, it's nonstop, man. It's just like,
I can't really, I might have had a short phoner with him. Or Perry. I think I did a short one with Steven Tyler, but it was very short. But it was, for the number one albums book.
Oh, yeah. Just a little plug for those of you who don't follow Craig. You should. And he has a site that's called Number One Albums. And pretty much every day you post something about what the number one album was at this time at however many years ago, whichever one you're...
Right, yeah.
You have a little blip about the artist and the album, and it's usually really informative and really good. I read them often.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's sort of like the online version of that book that came out in the 90s. And also, let's look at the discography. I'm holding Night in the Ruts in my hand here, my actual vinyl copy, because... that was an interesting, Perry only played on some of the record, but there's a lot of good songs. I like the cover of Remember Walking in the Sand, the great song by the Shangri-Las, which I think is it was a single, and that was a good song. The one of the best overlooked Aerosmith songs, No Surprise, which is basically the band's story. In a song, it's about Clive Davis seeing them at Max's Kansas City and everything. That if you haven't listened to that song again.
I've heard it. I don't really go back to Night in the Ruts and those very often. I tried to get to them for this, but I was like, I kept playing Rocks over and over again.
That's true, but I'm telling you, it's a solid album. The song Chiquita is a good rockin' song. Think About It, a Yardbirds cover, and another song, Bone to Bone, in parentheses, Coney Island, Whitefish Boy.
Train Kept a Rollin' in there is a really great version.
Oh, that's on Get Your Wings.
Get Your Wings.
Yeah, but it's another cover they did. And you want to talk about the best Beatles cover, which you would vote for.
Yeah, the best, I think Aerosmith's cover of Come Together is killer. I'm trying to think, is there a better Beatles cover? I don't think so.
A lot of people like Earth, Wind & Fire's Got to Get You in My Life.
That was also from the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Was it in the
Sgt.
Pepper's movie?
Movie, yes.
I couldn't bear it. I'm out.
Yeah, it's a much derided film that starred the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton as sort of Billy Shears and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And Aerosmith in the movie were the evil villain band.
Of course they were.
They were wearing like these uniforms, and they performed on this really high stage. And I think in the plot of the movie, I haven't seen it in decades, so I could be wrong, but they somehow kidnapped Strawberry Fields, who was Peter Frampton's character's girlfriend. They sing, you know, she's on stage when they're singing Come Together, and Tyler's wrapping her in his scarves and all kinds of stuff. But Aerosmith is badass in the movie, and I think they wanted originally in the script, it called for Peter Frampton to throw Tyler off the stage. And I think there's a story that Perry said, that's not going to happen. Where, you know, no respect to Peter Frampton, he's a great guy. But I think he said something
and
like
a great
that.
And a monster guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Guitar player.
Yeah, yeah. But he said something like, Perry said, oh, there's no way that Peter Frampton's going to throw Tyler off the stage. So I think they, like, rewrote the script and had him fall off the stage.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. But that was that killer version of Come Together was from that movie. And I saw the movie. I bought the sound. Don't think I have the soundtrack anymore, but I have, you know, the single, and I have it on Aerosmith's Greatest Hits. It's an incredible version. I think I like it better than the Beatles version. Did I just say that out loud? That's sacrilege.
Yeah.
And we're done. It's been nice talking to you, Craig.
All right. See ya. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sacrilege. Another really great song from, I never quite forgot, it was on Gems, is Chip Away the Stone. That is one of my all-time favorite. Talk about a song with some swagger. Freaking great, although not written by them. Actually, was one of the guitar players who replaced Joe Perry for a while.
I think
Richie
Supa or something.
Yeah, Richie Supa. Yeah.
Yeah, was he a guitar player or was he a keyboardist? I don't know. He might have been.
Okay, now I'm doing. Yeah. I didn't go and check.
Here, let's
almost positive.
I have him right here. I'm on the source for all knowledge here. Songwriter, guitarist.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, longtime friend of Aerosmith. You're right. Temporarily replaced Joe Perry. Yeah, Chip Away the Stone. Yeah, it's a great song. I think the live version was released first, and that appeared on Aerosmith Live Bootleg.
Yeah, I think so.
And then that studio version is the studio version on Gems.
It's on Gems. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both great though. I love them both. I mean,
yeah.
It's an
fantastic song.
Incredible song.
Again, it's like when they turn it on. That's kind of my thing with Aerosmith. When they turn it on, they're freaking great. And I mean, and I know they're kind of like, and rightfully so, if somebody wants to kind of look down their nose because of some of the, I mean, it goes from swagger to schmaltz, right? I mean,
yeah, they could be mocked. I mean, they're, you know, they're definitely like Spinal Tap like at some points in their career.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I'm sure they sit around and like they'll say something, then somebody be like, it's a little too Spinal Tapish. I mean, like I said, that one documentary again, I can't recommend it enough. I probably watched it, I don't know, over the years like 10 times because it's on YouTube, and I'll just pop, if I need something to watch to take my mind off everything, I'll just pop it in, and it's really fantastic. But and you can, like I said, you can really see how they work, but you also get like the Spinal Tapish moments as well.
Another one of the sort of lost albums that we skipped over, Rockin' a Hard Place, and this is when Whitford and Perry were out of the band, and it has another great Richie Supa song called Lightning Strikes. And that also, I remember that video. I mean, this was before, you know, Alicia Silverstone and all that crap and the 90s videos, but it was like Tyler in that video, he was like a punk. I mean, he like had his hair slicked back, wearing a leather jacket, carrying around a chain in this video for the song Lightning Strikes. Definitely look that up and revisit that. It's worth it. It's worth your time.
What are some of your other favorite songs from them?
Going back to Get Your Wings, or even the, you know what, let's start with the first album. I mean, the first album, you know, Mama Kin is a great tune, of course.
Goodness, what a rock song.
It's great. I mean, they're just, you know, so it's very bluesy, and you know, Tyler might be in that fake put on voice, but it's, you know, it rocks, and it's got soul, it's got feeling, it's fun, it's good stuff. With Get Your Wings, I tend to like some of the slower songs on like Get Your Wings. I like Spaced, which is very, you know, lives up to the title, sort of spacey music, and it's slow tempo. And I love Lord of the Thighs. It's got this great drum groove on it. Same Old Song and Dance is incredible. Another great track that goes, it bleeds into Train Kept a Rollin'.
I know what you're going to say, because I was going to say it too.
Seasons of Wither.
Yes.
this might be why I love this album so much. I have a fond memory of when I was, you know, a kid, a teenager, of going to a skate park one day, somewhere where we had to travel, like in Oxnard or somewhere that was a little bit of a drive. But
it's like, Craig Rosen's All Skate.
Yeah, exactly. We spent the day at the skateboard park, just, you know, skating hard, playing hard. And then I came home and I was just completely burned out. And I remember, you know, going into my teenage bedroom, turning the lights off. And I happened to have an 8-track player in my little all-in-one stereo at that time. And I had an 8-track of Get Your Wings, which I wish I still had. You hear that, Bud Verge? But the 8-track, good things, bad things about 8-tracks is they're, you know, it plays forever. You don't have, if you don't pull it out, it just keeps playing. So I was just wasted, not on drugs or alcohol, but just on skateboarding, and just laid in my bed with lights off, letting Get Your Wings like wash over me, you know, in semi-consciousness for hours.
So great.
But since it was an 8-track, and that album has some long songs, there were some songs that broke in the middle because of the 8-track. Yeah, but yeah, I still you know, it's weird that you can like remember one time listening to an album, and that is one time I definitely remember. Another one of the times that I saw them, I saw the Done with Mirrors tour.
And did you?
It was when I was in college, and I think I reviewed it for my college newspaper, but I didn't have like a connection to get tickets, so I waited in line, and this was at the Greek Theater in L.A., which, it's a mid-size, not as big as the Hollywood Bowl, and it's, you know, not right. as big as the Forum. So seeing them there was great, and I waited in line. I got tickets. I was actually in the front row, and I was for that show, and I was taking notes on a notepad, and Steven Tyler actually drip sweat on my notepad while I was taking notes. I remember that.
How was the show? Were they playing good?
It was good. It was good. I think I reviewed it. I didn't have tickets for this final tour. I wanted to go. I didn't, you know, it's gotten weird where, you know, I don't like requesting. I'm spoiled. I do get sometimes free tickets, but I don't like requesting them if I don't have an assignment. And they were going for a lot of money, so I hadn't made plans for tickets.
They were a lot.
Yeah, I did want to go. But just in general, if you've been sleeping on Aerosmith for all these years, go back and listen to, I would start with those the Columbia records. Start with Rocks. Start with Rocks, Toys in the Attic. Right. And then go from there, because if you're younger than us, your perception may be a little warped because of the MTV years. I mean, not that some of that stuff wasn't good.
It was good, but it wasn't the 70s level, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, go back to their roots and check them out. I mean, really a solid band with great players. I mean, we primarily focused on Tyler and Perry, but you know, they were a solid all-around band.
Just to go around real quick, Tom Hamilton brought in a lot of stuff, like the Sweet Emotion, the bass.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that. He had Janie's Got a Gun.
Yeah.
He was a co-writer on that. Brad Whitford always contributed a song or two on their great albums. Nobody's Fault.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that. On Rocks.
On Rock. Yeah. I mean, there's one on Pump that he did, Voodoo Medicine Man.
Okay.
I think what I would say to people who are like, Aerosmith, I get you, like some of it, I totally hear it. I totally get you. But when they are great, they are great. Right? And I say, you know, as I sort of said earlier, in a rarefied air.
Yeah, yeah. Look beyond the image. I mean, although the image and all that stuff is great, and their presence and everything. I love that, especially in the early days. But look beyond that and just check out the music. It really is some great hard rock and tunes, and you know, like we said, those piano ballads are incredible. Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna look down your nose at them, okay. I love them. I love You See Me Crying. Tell Me What It Takes. What It Takes. That is a great ballad. That is a great ballad. Fantastic ballad.
Yeah, I would even make the point. You know, it's interesting because now there's a bunch. There's like two or three, like these really big voiced male vocalists that aren't in bands necessarily. They're solo artists, but even like Jelly Roll and Benson Boone and Teddy Swims. I think all those guys are kind of influenced by Steven Tyler. And I think Teddy Swims was even supposed to open up one of the dates that the Crows couldn't for some reason on that final tour. I don't know if that show ever happened. But that sort of full-throated vocal male vocalist soul singer thing, is Steven Tyler had that down pat.
One thing that I think about a lot, if Steven Tyler would just been a solo guy, it wouldn't have been the same. This is a really, really good band. And because they were a band and it was basically the five guys at the peak times, that made something that was even more unique and something that's kind of lacking, because there's bands, but like they really played as a band and everybody had a lot of contributors to what they did, you know? So, I mean, obviously, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry were the superstars, but this is a great band, and which I think raises everything to that next level, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, definitely. It was a team. I mean, it's funny, it's almost like a sports analogy. Sometimes there's the superstars that get all the headlines, and then there's like the bench players or the other guys that sort of lay the foundation, and they're there. You know, they pick up the slack when the superstars aren't delivering.
Or they offer that one gem or something each album that just makes it, it's that little bit that just, you know, and the difference, I it's so stupid, cliche, the good to great thing, but it's so true as well, right? There's a lot of Aerosmith, I bet when they were working through it, it was okay. And then you take it to that great level, you know. They didn't do it as much as some of the other, you know, bands that we, you know, the REMs or the Beatles, Stones of the world. But when they did, they did it. So I think we both would encourage listeners to go back and have a listen, and you know, maybe you'll find something you like too and you'll love too.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. And let us know about your favorite Aerosmith tracks.
Yes.
And you know, maybe Aerosmith stories, or if you've seen them live, your feelings about them.
So I think let's each pick a song. I think the ones I would say to go back and kind of look at are Chip Away the Stone, Draw the Line, and there's a song off Pump called Fine that I just love, and I would say Jaded. Or those are my sort of like hidden gems that I would point listeners to. What do you got, Craig?
Interesting, while we were talking, I looked up Jaded. The weird thing, it was actually a hit at the time, it was a minor hit, but it doesn't have staying power. You know, it's not like been adapted into the classic rock library, which is a shame.
No, not at all.
You know, because it should. I'm with you on Chip Away the Stone. You know, Walk This Way is an obvious one. Lord of the Thighs, I love.
Oh, yeah.
Off Get Your Wings. Oh. Licking a Promise.
So good on
Rocks.
Yeah, actually, just the whole Rocks album.
Get the Lead Out. Get the Lead Out. The riffs. I mean, these guys were the kings of the killer riffs. I mean, you know, Jimmy Page inspired, of course, but they had them. They had them in.
They had
in
droves. They had riffs. Man.
Sick as a Dog. Wow. And Toys in the Attic is great. Yeah. Oh, it's also good, man. They're all so good. I want to listen to all these records again.
Well, we went on for a while, but okay. So to close out, thanks, Jim and Patrick, for letting us sit in. And you know how to get in touch with the show. Call the Echo Party Jimmy line or just open up the window and yell. What else is there? To the Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. I don't know what else. Are they on Threads?
Instagram. Yeah. There you
Instagram,
go.
Instagram, yeah.
But anyway, so thanks so much, Craig. Thanks for joining me. It was really, really fun.
Thank you, Mike. And I enjoyed it. It was fun.
We should do this more often.
Yes.
Except we seem to have the same problem that I have with Nick. We go on and on and on. I think the problem is probably me, but that's okay. All right, guys. Thanks so much. And we will talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Okay, we gonna switch?